Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Spock, that's it. There's more than one way to decapitate a human woman. Who knows how to get us out of this situation? And also, this human woman, she loves me. She loves me for me. She doesn't tease me because I always eat chicken fingers and mac and cheese by saying, "Ooh, that's kids' food," because grown-ups can enjoy it too. And also, she likes the board game Risk. And she lets me have Australia because maybe I don't need to rule the whole world. Maybe I'm just happy with Australia. And I don't see what's wrong with that. You're allowed to do peace treaties. The game allows it. And someone who doesn't need to go clubbing at 10 forward on a Friday night, but is happy to just hang out in my quarters, you know, watching old game shows. The comfort of the music and the color palette and the boop, 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 boop.
Dan is so ready to go.
All right. Well, we just have to think of a way to start the podcast then.
I think you just did.
Okay. Then we just started the podcast. We're going to get moving here. Hello.
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 And welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. This is episode 218 of that very podcast. And yeah. I'm going to take a little sip of tea here. Hold on just a second.
He's sipping tea, and I'm singing so there's no...
You're sipping soda.
I'm singing so...
Dan...
I'm sick on soda, so there's no silence.
...is an excellent vamper, and this is an excellent Twinings Earl Grey tea.
Oh, yeah, that is a good one.
No, thank you.
I don't know. Some people really don't like Earl Grey, including Patrick Stewart, by the way.
Yeah.
He did not like Earl Grey tea. I love this stuff.
I just don't like most hot tea.
Is it or so it's not the bergamot that throws you off, it's the hotness.
Yeah, he doesn't really care for hot beverages, I learned.
Yeah.
Just a few days ago.
I will get them if like the situation really calls for it, but it's very rare the situation calls for it. Just like with coffee, I find myself only drinking coffee in workplace environments. Other than that, I don't drink coffee at home. I have a coffee machine that I've never used.
Somebody makes it available for
look
you.
Look at this guy bragging. Like, oh, this guy bragging about his fucking extraneous coffee machines.
And I've never
even used it.
And I've never
nobody's ever even seen it.
I've never played Wordle. I don't play that shit. And and I don't like the Backstreet Boys and Britney Spears. Is that dating myself?
I don't know if it's dating yourself or if you're revealing hidden knowledge using reverse psychology.
I was just being that person that like has to be contrary for no reason.
Well done. Well, you fulfilled that role.
Look, if you don't like Wordle, it's fine. But some people make a big point of it.
Wordle. Okay.
Well, and some people make a big point Wordle. About podcasts discussing the topic that they advertise. So.
I'm not for or against Wordle.
Again, welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. And this week, it's a little bit different. Not that different.
Oh, no!
Not that different. We're still covering Star Trek content. Star Trek adjacent content, anyway.
It's not officially canon.
It's not. Well, and we'll get to that. We are talking about all five of the very short treks. Very with a lowercase v.
Mm-hmm.
Very short treks.
Like we're fat.
Non sequitur, but that's okay.
No, we're talking about it like we're fat.
Do you have any very short jokes?
I don't understand the phrase. Is that a phrase?
It's like,
is that an aphorism?
We're talking about it as if we were fat.
I still, you have described it verbally and you've acted it out. The audience can't see you acting it out, but you've just acted it out.
With his hands.
And I still don't understand.
I mean, a fat
oh,
gesture.
No.
What?
All right. Well, we're going to talk about the episodes. We're going to talk about the reaction and the controversy a little bit.
The controversy.
But of course, first we have a couple of news 'em ups, as we do most weeks.
They're on the rad.
They are.
They are apparently on the rad. I'm not a big fan of that slogan, but I'm losing that battle with the public by if our social media is anything to go by. So they are on the rad. The news 'em ups indeed may indeed, Dan, be on the rad. All right. So news 'em ups is, of course, a clever little phrase that we came up with. I think Dan came up with it somewhere along the line to...
it was probably inspired by something Patrick said along just the way.
Well, thank you. Even if that's not true, thank you.
You sometimes add 'em ups to the like words.
I do that sometimes.
You do? You said doo-doo.
And you do like to point that out.
It is a duty I do not take lightly.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, news 'em ups, as you might be able to derive from context clues, or where we just talk about some news relevant to the podcast, or Star Trek, or both. So I just wanted to note that this last weekend, I competed against Isaac from Unplanned Trek and Jack Dorino from Let's Talk About Treks on the Trexperts quiz. And we had a really great time. It was super fun. We focused on TNG trivia, as it turned
out.
Cheers!
Yeah. Yes!
And it was a wonderful time. And go check it out. See who won. See who didn't win.
Who's the Trexpert?
Who got? It was three of us. So you know, predict who you, which order you think we won in, and then go watch the whole thing. We'll have a link in the show description, so you can easily click on that. The other thing is just another reminder. That this coming weekend, if you are listening to this fresh and juicy, on December 9th, it's going to be the 4th annual Trek Time Awards, which includes appearances from many people across the Star Trek podcast spectrum, including your hot toddies here at the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Ah, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So,
check that out on December 9th. If you're hearing this after December 9th, hey, you can click on the link in the show notes, in the show description. It's you can just click that link. It's going to be another link. It's going to be a two-link show description. It's going to be excellent. So check that out.
Thank you.
Okay. From my perspective, that is the conclusion of the news 'em ups. I don't know, Jesse, Dan, do either of you have any news 'em ups?
Thank you.
Any correct 'em ups?
Thank you.
Any follow 'em ups?
No, I can't say that I do. How about you, dude?
Dan.
No. No.
I was like, what's Dan doing over there?
No.
He's doing something.
No.
All right, great. So we can get right into it then. Very short treks.
The ever controversial, very short treks.
The ever controversial indeed. I thought, how about we start with a little bit of background?
Sort of very short background.
Very short. Well, very short background.
Hey, you.
Hey. It's a very short controversy.
Hey. All of these were created by Casper Kelly to celebrate both the 50th anniversary of Star Trek: The Animated Series and the newer animated Star Trek series. But also kind of the franchise in general, right? So it's a little bit of a celebration of everything, but I guess ostensibly the main thing was to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Star Trek TAS, right? And Casper Kelly has a lot of credits in animation. He wrote on Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, Cat Dog, a bunch of other stuff. But I
Which is the one with the meatball? Is that Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
Yes,
I think so.
And like some French fries.
Does this for us, bro? Does this for us?
I'm not as familiar with these cartoons.
I'm a meatball. I talk like this.
I didn't watch that, but yeah.
I mean, that sounds cool to me. Having not seen the original program, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, I can't vouch for how close or far away it is. But for me sitting here, it sounds pretty awesome what you're doing.
We just have to ask the audience.
All right. Can you just do that for the rest of the, no, for the rest of the show?
It makes me have to close up my throat. And it feels weird.
You were starting to have a little trouble with that.
Oh, and there was like a milkshake guy, right?
Yeah, there was a milkshake
and
dude.
And fries.
Yeah. And there was some dude.
And a meatball.
And there was a dude in a tank top undershirt with a belly.
Right.
Well, that's one of the shows that he worked on. But I think for a lot of people, he's going to be most famous for the Too Many Cooks.
Too Many Cooks.
That bizarre Adult Swim 15-minute, I guess it's not quite 15 minutes, but they had that block where they put strange things in it, and one of the things was the Too Many Cooks, which was set up as the opening of a fictional TV show, like a sitcom, like an 80s sitcom. And the joke, of course, was that the introduction never stopped, and it kept getting weirder and weirder and more disturbing. It went viral. I was a big fan of Too Many Cooks. It's that type of humor where I can also understand why, even if I'm enjoying it, I can understand why other people might be like, what the fuck is this? Which may explain my general reaction to the very short treks, right, in that, yeah. I enjoyed them to varying degrees. But then when you go online, everyone was like, this is the worst shit ever. And I was like a little thrown off, but I kind of get it. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But anyway, those are kind of like the main background bits. Roddenberry Entertainment was involved, CBS Studios. This was a promotional thing. And I think, Dan, you said it earlier, these are not canon. And mm-hmm. I think most people understand that.
Yeah.
Whether they like them or not.
It's just comedy.
There did seem to be some people on the internet that didn't seem to understand that these are not meant to be canon. They're meant to be sort of goofy, humorous joke-em-ups.
It's totally joke-em-ups, man.
I think that, like, I would imagine that in order... Sorry, I just got, like, my words mixed up with what I was reading. Okay, what I was...
Aphasia?
Trying...
Is that a form of aphasia?
What I was trying to explain was that, like, people found it, I think, generally kind of... I'm going to assume, because I didn't actually read much of it, but I'm going to assume if their criticisms would be is that it was a kind of juvenile and very silly. Yeah. But that the way I combined that with what I was reading, I was trying to find the last episode of Lasagna Cat, because we were talking about...
Wasn't that weird business?
Yeah, we were talking about, like, YouTube, like, Too Many Cooks, and it reminded me of the last episode of Lasagna Cat, which is, like, it's, like, 6 hours.
Abstract, esoteric.
Like, all the episodes are pretty interesting. The last one is, like, 6 hours of the same thing looped over and over and over again, and it changes slightly, and it looks like he films each one separately, and it's, like, 6 hours of it. It's the most insane shit I've ever heard, I've seen. Well, not the... It's up there. It's up there.
It's the most...
The amount of effort he had to put
insane.
In... The amount of effort he had to put into something that most people aren't going to watch all the way through, that it differs throughout. It's called, like, Sex Survey, Lasagna Cat Sex Survey Results. And so, way I
our audience has a lot to look up if they're not familiar with it. You got to look up Too Many Cooks, and you got to look up Lasagna Cat.
So how that was combining with what I was saying, I think people... And then I was reading, I was trying to watch Sex Survey, but I wasn't signed into my account. So it says, sign in to confirm your age. And so I was, like, saying... I think people, like, in terms of why people didn't like the short treks, I was like, I think people, and then I was looking that you need to sign in to confirm your age. See what I was doing? Yeah. I was like, I think
you have network connectivity issues.
Yeah, I said, I think subject one, you need to sign in to confirm your age. Number two, reading.
What I'm enjoying.
Does
most
that make
about
sense? What I'm talking, explaining?
Okay, look, I'm not 100% sure how much sense it makes to the audience. It makes perfect sense to me, though. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like, I was thinking
I can
something.
See you gesture.
My mind and my eyes combined into my mouth.
Okay,
exactly. Like, he's acting it out.
In parallel, my mind and eyes were in parallel. I'm getting different sources of information, and they both combined to say. Instead of saying, I think they didn't like the X, or they just didn't say, sign in to confirm your age, I said, I think you need to sign in to confirm your age. Okay. All right. That's over-explained.
I think the amusing part to me is at the beginning of all that, it sounded like you were about to make a really interesting point.
Damn.
Then you confused yourself.
I did.
While making the point, and then you didn't come back to making the point.
Okay,
you got no point.
If I'm going to read from the context clues and from all your Avatar, The Last Airbender gyrations you were doing over there.
He was bending some air over there.
That was what Tendi was doing with her pad in that episode. She was that one part.
I think what you were trying to get at was that these very short treks, by and large, sort of fall into that category of late night absurdist humor.
Yeah.
A la Lasagna Cat, a la Too Many Cooks, which is not a surprise. Is that what you were getting at?
Yeah.
You don't seem convinced.
Well, I was really just looking up Lasagna Cat because you talked about Too Many Cooks and it reminded me of Lasagna Cat.
All right.
But what a point
it's got like an Adult Swim sort of flavor.
My point was not going to have anything to do with Lasagna Cat, but I was trying to find Lasagna Cat at the same time I was explaining this, and so it got all fucked up. But I would, people found it silly and juvenile, like Holiday Party. Can I go over each one of these?
How about this? Well, let's go through these episodes in order.
Okay.
I think that's what makes sense.
So, and I'll give up my thing of why I think people might have had issue with it.
All right. I think that's a great strategy. I think we go through each one of these and sort of do little mini reviews, and then we can talk about either what we know or what we suspect. So
that
some
is
people
good.
Off.
You should have your own podcast.
But I agree. Frankly, I think I would love to listen to a Dan-only podcast. Oh, it would man. Be like Lasagna Cat. It would be 6 hours long. It's repeating the same thing over and over again slightly differently.
Oh, man.
I would listen to it. Okay.
That's rough. But that hurts.
We will do that. We'll get started. We'll do them in order. We'll do them in broadcast order. How's that for you? And we'll call this season one.
I couldn't figure.
Even
I mean,
though this is probably the only one it's going
to
be.
They were all in the same year, so you really have to get granular if you're figuring out the broadcast order.
It's okay. There's.
I'm sure it's easy. Do they tell you by month or something? Or go, yeah, Wikipedia.
There's
yeah.
two reasons why it's not complicated. Jesse's reason, which is it's listed on Wikipedia, and sort of simultaneously the air date. They were released 1 week apart.
But it was all the same year, so that might as well be the same time.
Okay.
All
what right. you talking about, Dan?
All right. I do feel as important.
I'm a dumbass. I screwed up.
Okay, I feel before we get started, we do want to stress, we often stress this, that we are in no way interested in policing people's opinions of stuff. If you love or hate or whatever, that's all good. And especially here, I think you're fully justified in whatever your views of these episodes are. So we'll give our thoughts and we'll talk about them and some, you know, but whatever. Just don't stress out. We're not. Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. You should love what you want to love.
We're not telling you how to be.
That's what's awesome. No one's telling you how to be or how to think.
What are you worried about?
Don't worry.
Especially, these are controversial.
Don't worry.
These were controversial. And I say season one.
Don't worry about
even
it.
Even though we're probably not going to see these again. Maybe we'll see a similar idea. The idea of using the TAS animation with modern people mm-hmm. is great. I like that. I would not be sad if they did more of
that.
They even did
the run towards the screen TAS run in one of
and
the episodes.
And the face taking up half of the screen and all that other stuff. Okay. That's all good. All right, so the first one, according to both Wikipedia and Time, was the one titled Skin a Cat. It was written by Casper Kelly. All of these were directed by A.A. Ron Hawkins. This was released on September 8th, 2023, and it stars Ethan Peck as Spock, Pete Holmes as Captain Kirk.
What?
Christina Milizia as Emress.
What?
She also played the Nickersonian and Kirk's dream woman. Bonnie Gordon as the Enterprise computer, and she's on Prodigy and other things. Eric Bauza, who's a huge name in the voiceover world right now, the voice acting world. He played Assface, Screwhead, and the Antidian, which is the fish people. Fish guy.
Assholes are dumb to you?
Screws are synonymous with making mistakes?
Okay. What did you think of this one? This was the premiere, and this is where people got their first taste.
So, this was on Star Trek Day. What I'm asking...
September 8th.
Okay, what I'm not asking anything to do with that. What I'm asking is, was Kirk meant... Do you think that was meant to look kind of like Pete Holmes?
Yes, yeah, I think that.
They had Kirk in another episode that didn't have Pete Holmes. I assume it was Kirk. I think it was in the Holograms All the Way Down, I think. Anyway.
It could have been. It definitely looked Kirk-ish.
Yeah, I mean, it was amusing, sure.
Yes.
What fulsome reviews by I enjoyed this one. When I saw this, I immediately was like, okay, they went in a completely different direction than I thought they were going to do. Because I thought they were going to play it a little bit more standard style, a little fun adventure with a maybe lower deck style humor to it. They did their own special thing. I laughed about it. I also thought, okay, people are going to be a little weirded out by this maybe because it's not what they were expecting. I also was not a huge fan of the plot kind of touching on the whole like canceled. I'm canceled.
Yeah, right.
I can't say a goddamn thing anymore.
Yeah, right. that was the only
you can't make fun of anybody no more.
But it was really, you know,
it doesn't quite say that. It just gets real close to
right,
saying.
So, he does say something basically to that effect.
Basically,
and so it kind of teeters on the edge there.
You can have a character say that, but not have the artwork support it. And what I mean by it not 100% agreeing with it is the structure of the story is, as short as it is, doesn't quite say Kirk is right to think that.
I don't think he's. It doesn't seem like it's said out of like malice or anger.
No,
or it's,
I agree.
You know, it doesn't seem like he's just like, oh, you can't say anything anymore.
He gets
anymore.
Exploded though.
So. Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that in the end he fails.
Yeah.
And I think there's another thing that threw people off a little bit about these shorts, and a lot of them characters behave uncharacteristically compared to their original characters, which again, because this isn't canon, it doesn't matter as much. But yeah, that was the only thing that was a little bit, you can't say. And I was like, are they making a joke? Are they conflating William Shatner, the real life William Shatner, who sometimes kind of has been, you know, on social media falling on that side of things where he's like, I can't say a damn thing anymore. Because I wasn't sure if I'm reading too much into that.
I'm a horrible old guy.
But you know what I'm saying? It was just, that was a little weird. The actual jokes and the progression of the jokes based off of a misunderstanding of an aphorism, I thought that was pretty hilarious.
You will soon learn there's more than one way to skin a cat.
What?
We have bigger fish to fry.
What?
Don't get your knickers in a twist.
How dare you?
I'm a dumbass. I screwed up.
What?
Yeah. So those are all the jokes.
Those were all the jokes.
Or at least the.
You want to fry me?
I liked his long speech at the end. It began with.
There's more than one way to decapitate a human woman.
It's like, hey, Pete, where are you going with this?
Yeah, right.
And she lets me have Australia. The comfort of the music and the color palette.
I love the whole speech. I really do. I think
this is my favorite part.
You're allowed to do peace treaties. The game allows it. The game allows it.
And Pete Holmes is the perfect person specifically for this speech.
And
lots of other people could have done the other jokes, but this speech was like a Pete Holmes joke.
And you know, and that's also might be why I didn't take so much from it, that it's trying to be like, oh, you cancel, can't say anything, it's too woke. I didn't take that so much away from it because it's Pete Holmes, and he says everything. Whenever he says something, he just seems like he's laughing and smiling and loving it the whole time.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like
a mixture of sort of sadness and sarcasm.
It doesn't seem like when he's saying it, when Pete Holmes says something like that, it doesn't seem like he's bitter about it. He's just like, hey, you know, like, hey,
hey, hey,
hey,
hey, hey.
You know, now maybe that doesn't change the words, but like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it is. They want to, like, you could also say, yeah, of course, it's the joke. Like, if we had an attitude of being offended by things, how would we possibly make it out in space? I guess that you could say literally is like, yeah, that is definitely putting across the message of like, you know, cancel culture is tedious or whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, like, that you could argue that they would say
it's
that.
It's also a little difficult to take this too seriously.
But, like, so that, well, that's why, I was contrasting with, on the one hand, it's Pete Holmes, so I can't, like, take it seriously, like, it's bad and mean-spirited, but on the other hand, if you take certain aspects out of it and just put together what happened in the episode, you could make an argument for it. So that it was trying to make a comment on that.
I think the way I kind of look at it is that there was a lot of cleverness here, but then there was some laziness, and I don't like that term. I think it's it's not the right term, but I can't think of a better word.
They could have done without that line altogether.
I think that's a good point, Dan. It's like, did they need it? Would it have been different if they had removed it, or if they had gone a different direction?
When they put in that line in there, it's like trying to drive a point home or something, and they don't need to drive that point home. They can just they show you what happens.
They've already shown.
They show you what happens, and they don't. And by showing you what happens, they're not really telling you what to. They're not putting across some. There's implied messages, but when he says that, it becomes a little more explicit. Yeah. And so it better to leave some things to the imagination, I guess.
I agree wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. But Pete Holmes was good. I thought the voice acting was fun. It was great to see that animation style again. I also thought that Peck really works as Spock in the animated form. If anything, it made me... by the way, I always liked Ethan Peck as Spock. Mm-hmm. I think he's great. But watching him do the voice of TAS style Spock made him even more closely connected to Spock in my brain somehow. I think that was helpful.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
And the boop, 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 boop.
It seemed like they had the sound quality of TAS going on too.
Clearly some filtering going on. Yeah. And by the way, it wasn't just the voice acting and stuff, but they also had, listen to this.
All right. Paramount Plus opening music.
Yeah. But it was on YouTube, so you could. It wasn't all garbly and distorted looking.
But it was garbly. But
not
I mean,
the one I saw.
Oh well, this one that I just played.
Well, okay.
Has like the VHS style, like you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I think he meant like how Paramount Plus gets garbly or something.
Yeah.
Oh no, yeah. I was just talking about the actual like and then, as an aesthetic choice, they made it sound all like old school. Yeah, and then the animation was old school. Also, I like the end music.
Yeah.
And then it gets cut off. That's the. I mean, which is funny, but I was digging the music. Yeah, I was too. So you know what I downloaded, Dan? D. Oh no. I downloaded the same thing. Is there a difference? The audio quality is a little different. Here, play yours again. Yeah. Okay, pause yours. I think mine's got a little bit more of the stereo action going there. Okay, how about this? See? Yeah? Yours is a little bit more mono. I usually mix mine down to mono.
You guys are a couple of crazy SOBs.
Because this guy is using Python to slurp stuff off the internet, whereas I was using Audacity to slurp audio off the internet. Well, I put it on Audacity and it was stereo, but I mixed it down to mono in Audacity.
Oh, you mixed it down.
Should I stop doing that, you think? You think I should make my sound stereo from here on out?
I mean, you do you, brother.
you're saying I should.
I am agnostic on it. You do what you think makes the most sense.
You do the voodoo that you do.
Hey, let's play these at the same time.
Hey.
All right?
Wait a second.
Okay?
Let's play it slightly all right. off.
Okay, we'll go
off.
1, 2, 3, go.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, go.
Oh, hey, let's put some special effects on it. That sounds even better.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Okay, all right.
That was pretty wild.
All right, we're being silly. How about this? Let's take a quick... Let's take a quick break. I think we've concluded discussing episode one. We'll take a quick break, and then when we get back, we will be talking about...
When we get
D?
Back.
Holiday party. I'm not falling for that trick again, Dan.
You.
Every year. Same thing. Holiday party. We'll be discussing the holiday party when we get back, which will be in a moment. Be right back. All right, we're back.
Ah!
That was a really quick break.
Crazy animation. Don't you even know it?
Podcast.
Podcast. Get it, Dan? All right, so now we are ready to discuss episode 2 of Star Trek, Very Short Treks.
Oh, yeah.
Farted.
It's called... Holiday.
Farted.
Holiday party.
Farted.
Holidays. It's about the holidays.
Farted.
Well,
holiday
one
party.
Particular holiday.
Farted.
I think we know what Dan likes about this episode.
I forgot to mention last what people I think might not have liked about
In the Skin of Cat.
The Skin of Cat. It was probably what we just mentioned about it.
We did talk about it. What are you talking about?
And it was silly.
I don't know, but you said it's what we just mentioned, and then you did not reference what we just mentioned. I don't know what you're talking about.
About how the whole like cancel culture sort of reference.
Okay, I don't understand how you can say you forgot to mention that
because
was the fucking focus of our conversation.
I know, because I realized later I realized after I forgot I realized that I didn't forget.
All right,
but it was also silly.
All right. All right.
Now for this one, holiday party.
Okay, let's at least let me just say who wrote it, etc. Again, all of these were directed by A.A. Ron Hawkins. This was written by Claire Friedman.
Farted.
And it was released on September 13th, 2023. And it stars Ethan Peck as Spock, Bruce Horak as Hemmer, Celia Rose Gooding as Uhura, Gia Sandu as T'Pring, Doug Jones as Saru, and Bonnie Gordon, Eric Bauza as various other voices.
All right.
Oh, all right.
Give credit to everybody. Now, Dan, I have described the people involved in the production of this thing. I turn it over to you for the point that you are going to make.
What's your point, Dan?
This one was violent and juvenile.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent job.
Okay. I'm just saying this is my guess as to what people's problem was with this one.
Oh, okay. I forgot. You should clarify that.
Yeah, that's all what right. I'm saying.
I got that, you. Now I'm understanding your insistence at the beginning of okay. this. Okay, now I'm good. Right. Okay.
So I think because like there was this.
It is funny because he normally does have legs.
There was that, which was very violent. That whole scene was very violent.
Spock. No.
And then there was the juvenile part, which I just played, which was.
It's so silly. Or when that ship exploded.
Oh yeah, that was great too because it was just like the slow crashing, and then you just see Saru saying like, "What did he say? Do you have that quote of Saru talking about like 6,000 Federation lives lost?"
Yeah. Shit.
And that one guy was like, "My uncle was on this."
If small misfortunes are funny,
no, that's
bigger
not it.
Misfortunes should elicit bigger laughs.
No,
that is quite logical.
Let's fix this.
Okay, no, we're gonna fix this. I can't wait.
Captain, they're going to crash.
No, that's not it either.
I love our new segment called Dan's Fix 'Em Ups.
Oh my god, I'm totally blanking. This is I fucking
see. It's like Spock is like one of those guys, or like if who's like a pacifist and he snaps and he starts getting violent. He doesn't know the rules of violence. Yeah. He doesn't understand humor, so he's just like. What he's doing is humor. It's just extremely edgy.
Well,
like, so it's not not appropriate in this situation.
Is it this one?
A moment of silence for 6,000 Federation souls lost.
Yes.
Right.
In memoriam.
Right.
I will spoil everybody by saying this may be my favorite of the bunch. This vies with one of the other ones back and forth, but I ate this shit up. When this came on, I was like, okay, people didn't like last week's, but there, you gotta love this one. This one's hilarious.
Out of the way! To the space diarrhea!
It's so
space
fucking,
diarrhea.
It's so funny.
That's when he did the run at the screen TAS running.
Like, but yet, people
why
did
was
not
the floor so
people
slippery?
Did not like this. A lot of people hated this. They, like you said, Dan, I saw people on Reddit and Facebook and other places saying it was juvenile. And it was ridiculous, and they were mad at all the feces.
I think that was the point.
And I thought this.
Well, wait, I missed the feces. Was that when the guy got chopped in half? All
no, 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 no. He said space diarrhea, and then there's the farting.
Out of the way! The space diarrhea!
And then the farting.
The scatological humor.
Yes.
Well, you know.
Oh no, I forgot. I'm gonna turn off the special effects. Oh, there we go. Da, 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 da. Okay.
Alright.
I was a little thrown off when people didn't like this one. The first episode, for various reasons, I said, okay, people don't like it. Yeah.
It's perfect.
I can understand why people, you know, if you're not into the scatological humor, okay, or the violent humor with the intestines and stuff flowing out of that poor ensign.
Big, big blooper. Blooper.
But to me, this was one of the more sort of deeply clever of the episodes in that, first of all the feces humor, scatological humor, etc.
Farted.
Is funny in part because it's in contrast to what you expect from Star Trek. That's what funny is. You laugh
that's
at the,
totally what funny
you,
is.
You expect something and then something unexpected happens and you laugh. You gotta laugh. This right. is what people do. It's a fear response in a certain sense. And we like it. And then then the endorphins are released. And we're like, ha, ha, the tiger's not going to get me. You know, that's where laughter comes from, isn't it?
We're going to die.
Is this a defense mechanism?
It's like you think the tiger's going to get you. The tiger doesn't get you. The endorphins are like, you know,
it's like what is versus what it's supposed to be or something. Isn't that like irony? Isn't that like irony? And that makes you laugh.
You lost me.
No, I disagree what is entirely with your point.
What is versus what is supposed to be? Subversion. It's like subversion of expectations. That's
there you go.
The expectation was the tiger was going to eat you, yes. But you subverted that shit.
Wow. So I think at a certain level, this is hilarious just for not only making the joke, but I thought making it well, the animation, the vocal performances, they make this work because it's the two extremes of sophisticated Star Trek and silly potty humor.
Yeah, it went. It went. So the first one was the.
It is funny because he normally does have legs.
Good.
So it begins like this party begins like disturbing, yes, right off the bat, you know.
Well,
Spock.
And then like, and then he talks about like, he jumps to clip number 7 because, yes, apparently the next 6 were of them
more the same
thing. But then it jumps to
our marriage is off. Do not follow me.
Yeah,
great. And then he's crying both in the video clip and in real life. He's got tears in both things. The other thing, though, as Dan is queuing,
I am shattered by this.
Queuing up his business. The other thing was that what to me makes this one particularly clever is, even though part of the joke is haha fart jokes and Spock, those are the, you know, the opposite of what you'd expect. It is still sort of telling a little mini Star Trek story in that it's calling attention to the absurdity and the hypocrisy of Schadenfreude type humor, you know, America's Funniest Home Videos, that sort of thing, where it's like, ha ha ha, somebody got hurt. Now, the hypocrisy can be difficult to live with, but it's something I think we must learn to live with, because it is funny when somebody gets hit in the balls and then farts or whatever.
The ensign hurt his genitals and then farted, but did not die.
Yes. So, yeah.
That's funny, but it's also interesting to call attention to it in the context of Star Trek.
So, right. So it went from like disturbing because the guy's shit got cut in half. And of course, they had to show in detail, of course, like all the innards,
the pancreas,
and stuff like that.
Yeah. The intestines, the upper, lower intestines.
It went from disturbing to very sad with his whole marriage situation, and he's all like,
I am shattered by,
you know,
this.
And then
then they had a quick shot of Nurse Chapel, and then they go
from like disturbing to sad back to like disturbing again with the whole like ship blowing up situation.
Yeah, 6,000 souls.
And then they end on he finally gets it right. With like some like overly disgusting like diarrhea poop. It's like a poop joke supreme. It goes disturbing to sad to disturbing to like ultimately juvenile and silly.
And it's a reconfiguration of the Goldilocks and the Three Bears kind of thing. You know, the soup, you know, they got the good soup and the bad soup and the just right soup, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really honestly sort of brilliant to pack this much stuff into 3 minutes.
I'm trying to think about
I just hate that some people dismiss such a clever little bit of writing and acting because it's got the fart jokes in it.
I'm trying to think about the difference between the first joke and the third joke in terms of emotions, because the first one was disturbing. The third one was also disturbing, but the first one was in this sort of like very like gross out like body mutilation kind of way. But the other one was the kind of disturbing where 6,000, you're watching 6,000 people die in this giant explosion. Yeah. So it's funny, they had two disturbing moments that are slightly different in flavor, but of course sandwiched into sadness with his marriage, you know.
Have the specific and the general.
Yeah.
And sandwiched in between them, getting hit in the nuts, slipping around like a jackass.
The ensign hurt his genitals and then farted, but did not die. Farted.
Ethan Peck is amazing. He is amazing. And
if small misfortunes are funny, bigger misfortunes should elicit bigger laughs.
Again,
that is quite logical.
I think this animated format helps draw attention to how good he is with his voice as Spock, because the deadpan that matches the TAS style animated deadpan, there's something magical about that in this particular little episode of Very Short Treks, lowercase v.
It is called a blooper reel. Something as unpalatable as comedy. Blooper, 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 blooper.
Isn't that a weird word now because I said it so many times?
Blooper.
Yeah, you didn't say it. You just played it so many times.
It came through my finger. I said it through my finger.
say what now, bro? Like,
whoa, dude. Whoa.
Are you talking about the electric grandma? Do you remember? You remember that Canadian business, the electric grandma, where she squirts orange juice at her finger? Do you know what I'm talking about, Dan?
And no.
Like milk or something?
Yeah. So, like, Blooper. Jesse knows what I'm talking about. So, people in the audience, some of you are going to know
Spork.
About the electric grandma. Now, here's the deal. The electric grandma is like an hour long, bizarre Canadian story that was
for children
about a family where I think I can't remember.
Is it based on a true story?
No, because what it is like, I can't remember if the mom dies or something happens.
Spoiler alert.
No, it's at the beginning of the movie.
Spoiler alert.
They show it family, on like the Disney Channel or Nickelodeon.
Something like that. There's like a family. I think it's a dad.
Did you know
two
a Nickelodeon
kids.
Is a theater you paid a nickel. Blah, 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 blah. You paid a nickel yes. to go in the theater.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah,
a Nickelodeon.
Yeah. I know about that.
Yes. An Odeon that costs a nickel. Okay.
Odeon.
In the Electric
you
Grandma.
You got a bad Odeon coming out your face.
In the Electric Grandma. Oh, no. They somehow acquire this robot grandma who looks like a human other than the fact that she's
it's
a robot.
Perfect.
Yes. And then she helps take care of the kids.
It gets delivered by some kind of creepy helicopter.
Yeah, I remember
creepy
like in a
what?
Crate. There's like a helicopter lowering a crate.
Was there mayonnaise on the helicopter?
I don't say mayonnaise.
I do.
But in that you might recognize it, if not by the name, then by the fact that at a certain point she's filling up glasses of like milk and or orange juice by squirting it out of her finger.
Yeah. What?
And it's super weird. And
yeah, it's gross.
I keep saying the Electric Grandma because
it comes out all fast.
I saw that as a child. It disturbed me. And for decades, I did not know what it was.
Are you all right?
And it wasn't until a few years ago. I went rummaging around, and I finally did a Google search for robot grandma squirts something out of her finger.
Yeah,
and came up with the title.
That's
terrifying.
I
learned about it, and it's available on YouTube. So, if you would like to be disturbed, or if there is someone whom you would like to disturb, look up the Electric Grandma on YouTube, and there's the link for you. You got it. Maybe we'll put the link in the show notes. Yeah, I'll put
it. It is called a blooper reel. Blooper.
Presuming I can find it, I'm going to put the link to the Electric Grandma in the show notes.
Big blooper.
All right. Anything else about the holiday party, or shall we move along home to our next episode?
Move along home.
Okay. Now.
Oh, wait.
Ah!
Oh, yeah, it's on.
Is that the transition music?
It's the beginning.
Maybe, hey, if you could get a good edit of that and in stereo, maybe that should be our new
shit.
That should be our new break music.
Okay.
Totally.
Transition music might be more fun than that. Maybe for this episode we'll use it.
So, like, it's like Carmen or something?
Use something like Carmen. That. Okay. Episode 3 of Star Trek, Very Short Treks.
Wait, you got to tell me what it is before we move
I'm on. About to.
Oh.
Before you started talking, was when I was about to say the title. Just FYI, for future reference.
I've never experienced that
before
on this end
before.
Before
you started talking.
I've never experienced that end of the conversation.
You have no frame of reference for understanding my position.
It's important that we take some time in each other's shoes so we know what it's like. I whistled when I said that. I didn't mean to do that.
I was wondering.
Would you like some wood?
Well, Joey Gladstone.
Just making a Lady and the Tramp joke. He's calling you the beaver from Lady and the Tramp.
You know that when Joey Gladstone in Full House says, got any word? He sounds like Meatball from like Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yeah.
Because he's like,
the same kind
word?
Of
word.
He must have been and must have influenced the meatball.
Is that what they call a callback?
Meatball's like, I'm a meatball. I'm a meatball. And then Joey Gladstone is like, got any word?
Yeah.
Not in your world, I'm a meatball. You know? Isn't that crazy? That's so weird.
Something's crazy.
But we should spend some time in each other's shoes. I whistle sometimes. It happens. It's something I've come to accept about myself.
Yeah. It's not a whistle. It's a tooth whistle.
It goes to the top of my mouth, I feel, though.
Wait, you mean there's a hole in the top of your
there's
mouth?
There's a hole in the top of your mouth where the whistle comes out.
You gotta get that checked out.
There's a hole in the top of your mouth where the whistle comes out.
You both have to get that checked out and you have to record.
There's a hole in your mouth. There's a hole in your mouth. There's a hole in your mouth where the whistle comes out. There's a hole in the top of your mouth where the whistle comes out.
Okay, so, like, sorry. The worst contact.
Yes, worst contact is the next one.
Worst contact.
That's what I was getting at.
Ah.
And
oh, no!
Again, we've done this twice now. I just want to say who it's written by.
Oh, shit.
And who stars in it. To provide some context, and then we can continue the discussion. Okay.
No.
It was written by Casper Kelly, again, the person who came up with this whole concept, apparently. Directed again by A.A. Ron Hawkins. Released on September 20th, 2023. And it stars Jonathan Frakes as William Riker, Gates McFadden as Beverly Crusher.
We believe boogers represent our essence and bind us to all things.
Dan Snyder as Bragu. I presume it's not...
just pick your nose with a hand?
Of course!
I presume that's not the former owner of the Washington Commanders, previously called the Washington Redskins, Dan Snyder. I think this is a different Dan Snyder as Bragu. And Sarah Sherman as Mukara.
Mukara.
I know, we didn't get the names Bragu and Mukara in the dialogue, but they
is he called
are Raku?
Is he called Ragu?
It's Bragu.
Bragu. Oh, Bragu. I thought it was because of...
You forgot to add the sauce!
Oh, oh no.
It looked like fucking... That was too much.
Okay.
It was hilarious.
Gorn Invader.
But it was too much in a hilarious way.
Yes.
Because it looked like a fucking toothpaste. Yes. Okay. It looked like toothpaste. And it may... It
was super gross.
Made me remember this time when I was in like second grade and this kid...
Jesse, watch out.
This kid came in and he had allergies or a cold and
Were you in elementary school? You said second grade?
Yeah. Elementary school. Okay,
Was it like a Montessori school? Was it like a public school?
Doesn't matter.
Well, you know, the context of the... I guess maybe it doesn't matter.
Well, it actually was a Montessori school, I think, which is interesting that you said Montessori school. But
I'm not
He knows your backstory.
No. It's more specifically, I'm not trying to sort of play into any stereotypes about the types of people who go to any given type of school.
Okay. Well, it was
but
just...
But I could see somebody
it was just
being
some
interested
kid.
In that context.
Some kid had some allergies and he kept sniffing, going, you know, I'm not going to sniff on it. It sounds gross. Yeah. But then he like sniffed out and this... Perfect. This mucus
Snipped
tube.
Out.
So wait. Let me finish.
Wait. You're just gonna in careful detail describe
let me
this
finish.
Mucus. Okay.
He had a mucus tube, a cylinder of mucus that was the exact diameter of his nostril. The diameter of That's his nostril, and it perfectly covering his entirety of the space of his nostril, and it hung down to the top of his lip, and then he looked at me, laughed, and then sniffed it back up into his head.
Yes.
That's what...
The second
grade,
man.
You forgot to add the sauce!
That's what that scene made me think of, because it looks so unrealistic like toothpaste, but that one kid looked like that, so it can happen. It's disgusting.
So
kids are gross.
So what I think the audience didn't like about this is just because it was like a big booger joke.
Yeah, I didn't hate this one. I can very much appreciate why people were not as into this. Unlike the previous one, which I do think had multiple layers of cleverness to it, I do think this was pretty...
And these aliens were all squeaky, like TAS aliens. All have like those. Usually have like high pitched voices. Yeah.
Picking our nose is a sign of respect among our people.
Were they Talosians? They look like Talosians, except
some kind of cauliflower.
But Talosians are unisex, and they were all played by female actors, right?
Well, and they also are not not all of them, but
unisex.
Many of them.
There are unisex, right?
In the universe.
I don't see genitals.
They are polysex. They are heptasex. They are sexasex. Instead of, it's not hexasex, it's sexasex.
You're going to hurt yourself, dude. Yeah.
But you got to stop doing that meatball voice because I think it's constricting blood flow
but
or something.
So these look like Talosians, except they were obviously like...
They were something different.
They were meant to... One
they were Snotosians.
One looked like... No, but one looked like Snotosians. One looked like they were male-ish and the
Mucosians.
Other... One looked like they were male-ish and one looked like they were female-ish.
Yes, they were clearly coding them in a certain direction.
But they kind of look like Talosians. So weird. Gates McFadden, this is the most sort of controversial she got.
Did you just pick your nose with a hand?
Of course!
Which is pretty, maybe titillating is the wrong word. I don't know.
I would say yes. Titillating is the wrong word.
Oh, it is the wrong word. Scintillating?
You're all like, maybe.
Scintillating? What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know if you mean scintillating.
Not quite controversial, but like, you know.
Wait, you thought she was into it?
No.
She was disgusted by it.
Scintillating means sparkling or shining brightly. That's she didn't outright say boogers. I wonder if they wanted her to say boogers and she was like, no, I'm not going to say boogers. Because at that point, why wouldn't they say boogers?
Well, okay, can you repeat the line to me then?
Did you just pick your nose with a hand?
Of course!
Like,
so you think she was? What do you think was the alternate line?
No, I don't think there was an alternate line.
But you said you thought they wanted her to say boogers. I don't see where boogers goes into that.
I don't know. There was some part in the episode I felt like one of them. Why wasn't she? She wasn't saying a lot of like gross stuff. Like they probably.
Well, I know that Gates McFadden.
Like the grossest she got was talking about. The most explicit she got was talking about picking your nose with your hands.
So Gates McFadden,
the closest reference to boogers that you got is from her is that. And so I was thinking, like, do you think there's any lines that they threw at any of the actors and not just Gates McFadden, but any of them, and they were just like, no, I'm not.
I mean, maybe, but Gates McFadden is not known for being shy about these types of things. And if you listen to the Gates McFadden Investigates podcast, which is a super excellent podcast where she interviews all sorts of folks, mostly actors from across the Star Trek franchise. She's not somebody I think would shy away from some potty humor or vulgarity necessarily. Who knows? Maybe
she says boogers.
She doesn't say boogers in that episode.
No, but she does. I bet you she says it on the podcast. Boogers and she's not going to shy away from saying boogers.
You can't just assert something if you don't know.
Well, that's what he's saying is that she says, you know.
Yeah, but not,
but she not specifically boogers. You can't just say she said boogers because you think she did.
And Jesse, I agree with Dan. Dan is being very semantic here, but I agree with him. But we'll go listen to the whole podcast, the whole Investigates podcast, and we'll mark down any time she says the word boogers or a synonym of boogers, like bogeys or snot, or what are some other synonyms for boogers?
No.
We believe boogers represent our essence and bind us to all things.
We believe it. Our warp drive is just so excellent, so delicious. Pick the boogers and eat it.
Where'd they go?
Ding! The microwave. Okay, so
the
leftover fish cooked in microwaves.
Yeah. Nah. So this started out as being a booger joke, and then it extends to a more general. These are obnoxious people.
Yeah.
Joke.
Right.
And in addition to it being just gross in concept and gross in execution, partly because the execution is good, right? It was well executed snot humor, which is what makes it unpalatable and gross, because it was well illustrated and well performed by the animators. Right?
There was snot all over the place.
Oh my god! So the first time I watched that episode, my mind didn't even make the connection of what all that goo was everywhere. I didn't even think about it. I wasn't even like, what's all that
smearing it all over?
I was like, what is all that weird stripe stuff? Yeah, I just thought it was just some alien world. I was just like, oh, that's just the weird Star Trek scene. And then they mentioned the booger thing. And then when I watched it the second time, I was like, oh man.
It is, you know,
the fish thing though. Someone at an office job I had actually did that once.
They did that because it's a relatable thing.
Well, let me finish, please. Okay.
He was about to relate.
What I was gonna say was someone at my office job actually did that once, where they put fish in the microwave. He did it for real, and he wasn't even kidding. Like, he actually fucking did that, and the whole place stunk like fish. It would have been funnier if
it's still pretty funny because it's a relatable thing. It just didn't work out in the context of the episode, I think. And what was the other thing that they had? Because it wasn't just the fish and the snot.
What do you mean it didn't work out in the context of the episode?
What I'm saying is reality shows. Maybe this works better if they just stuck to boogers only and it was all booger stuff. But then they start folding in these other obnoxious things,
right?
Like the fish.
And like I was saying.
And like inviting themselves to hang out.
And like I was saying, I actually had that happen. Someone did that in my job.
And hence why I mentioned everyone's had that happen at an office job. If you've worked in an office, you've either had somebody cook something smelly in the microwave. Now, whether you care or not is a different issue.
But the thing is now is I always wonder, it's like, people know that this is a bad thing to do now. Is this actually happen, or is this one of those things that people joke about happening that doesn't actually really happen?
Like slipping on a banana peel?
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I think these things do happen. First of all,
I think they used to happen more than they do now because people are more aware now, which is why I thought it was all the more surprising that this person at my office did it, because I was like, don't you know by now that you're not supposed to do that? They don't. I'm sure I've done something. What have I done? Now it makes me wonder what I've done. I've done all sorts of shit.
You've done it, yeah.
I'm sure you've done something.
Did you microwave some egg salad or something?
Probably someone probably offered me some like pumpkin pie they made, and I was probably insulted their weight or something. No, that's not something I would do. No, that's not.
I mean, it seems out of character for you.
That wouldn't be something
that's
I would
not,
do.
That's not your thing.
No, I like, imagine like, no. Dan, would you like some pumpkin pie? Fuck you, you fucking fat ass.
No, I think
I better take it away from
what
you.
What did happen once? What I was thinking when I said that was once. I'll try to make this quick. I was like trying. I was going on this diet because I was like, you know, getting pretty hefty, and then at the office, like someone made like some delicious cake, you know, and they were asking cake, and I on the way out the door I was like, I was just like, thanks for the cake, but you know, I'm trying to lose weight, you know. And then afterwards it was kind of silent, and then when I left I was like, that's not really how you thank someone for offering you cake, you know. You don't say like, it's like, oh, I'm just trying to cut down on my weight, you know. And it's one of those things,
gross sugar fat filled deliciousness.
And there's a good chance she wasn't offended at all by it, but I've been thinking ever since then. I was like, that kind of sounded like a dick thing to say.
There's a good chance even that cake wasn't very good.
It was a borderline thing.
I mean, I really wanted the cake is the thing, because it looked like delicious cake, and I didn't want people to feel like they should worry about their weight. But
I bet you it wasn't that good.
Dan's gonna be like, Jesse, you can't say that. Yeah. You don't have enough data to determine that.
And I do have enough data, and it would have been good because she makes good cake.
All right. Well, I think a meta thing about that is that when you include those types of things, like that joke, like the fish in the microwave joke,
reality TV.
That's how you teach people not to do that, right? Or
did
at
you
least
wash your hands before you made
care.
This?
Now, on the other hand, one thing that I, again, this is another example where I get sometimes a little uncomfortable with those jokes, because they presented it in the quote-unquote proper way, where it was just like leftover fish. Mm-hmm. It was not coded in a certain way or anything, because traditionally there have been the issues where somebody is cooking something that is their own food that they dig eating, and then other people of the majority ethnic group, for example, might be like, ew, what the fuck is that? Mm-hmm. Yes. That's not cool.
Right.
It's not cool to be like, you're gross because your food is gross. Mm-hmm. It's a different thing to say, hey, it's nice if people think about shared spaces, and there's certain stuff that, you know, it's just people have to deal with, and maybe they're not into.
I'm paranoid about eating egg salad.
Don't sneeze on
egg salad in public.
I think that's a good example of something that's worth being paranoid about. Yeah. Or lutefisk is another thing. You don't need to be necessarily popping open a jar of lutefisk.
Or that, or
if you're in a shared space.
Or that fermented spoiled shark or whatever.
Yes,
Finland.
That's in Iceland. Yeah,
oh, Iceland.
And I had that once too. When the person opened the bag, the room immediately smelled of terrible ammonia and other mysterious sort of rotting smells.
You forgot to add the sauce.
I tried some of it.
Oh no.
We put it away. The person who brought the Icelandic rotted shark put it away, and somebody else had shown up.
At least let us give you our customary goodbye of licking your eyeballs.
Sorry, somebody, I didn't mean to play that.
Somebody else showed up about 5 minutes later, and you could see the look on their face. They're like, what the fuck happened in this room? Because the smell was still lingering.
Oh, man.
All right, how about this? Any other points
something
about this
gross
episode, or shall we move along home?
Oh.
We've been working for years on a way to travel to stars to find friends, and now the friends have come to us. Let us shake hands.
Well, gross.
Did you hear the noise picking noise? Yeah. Listen closely for nose picking noise.
We've been working for years on a way to travel to stars to find friends, and now the friends have come to us. Let us shake hands.
Did you wash your hands before you made this?
Jesse, what kind of a noise annoys an oyster?
A noisy noise.
A noise an oyster.
A noise annoys.
All right.
Noisy.
We'll take a quick break, and when we get back,
a quick break,
we will discuss the final two episodes of Star Trek, Very Short Treks, Lowercase V, Season 1.
At least let us give you our customary goodbye of licking your eyeballs.
be right back. Okay, we have returned to the studio. We all dispersed for a while, and now we've come back to the studio to discuss these final two episodes of Star Trek.
Well, let me guess the next one.
Treks.
The next one's going to be Holograms All the Way Down.
Holograms?
The next one, episode 4 in season 1 of Star Trek Very Short Treks, Lowercase V.
Is Walk, Don't Run.
Is Holograms All the Way Down.
Holograms All the Way
Holograms?
Down.
Holograms?
Holograms.
There we go.
Hologram.
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 Holograms.
Holograms.
Hologram.
I've been having some software problems today.
All right. Written by Aaron J. Waltke, who is one of the main writers on Star Trek Prodigy, as it happens.
Oh.
And I think he's a producer now, too. Directed by Aaron Hawkins. This one was released September 27th, 2023. It stars Connor Trinneer as Charles Trip Tucker III.
He's really in this
the
one?
The same.
Yeah. Jonathan Frakes as William Riker. Armin Shimerman as Quark.
I don't get it.
Noelle Wells as Devon Attendee.
Where would I
Oh, fuck.
Where would I stay?
I'm having so many issues tonight.
Oh, no.
It's all right. We can talk through those. Oh, yeah. Where was I? Okay. Angus Imrie as Zero from Star Trek Prodigy. George Takei as Hikaru Sulu. Doug Jones as Saru. Bruce Horak as Hammer. Ethan Phillips as Space Creep Neelix, noted Space Creep, and Bonnie Gordon as the ship's computer.
All right.
So, I've gone through the list. That's everybody who's in this thing.
That pretty much explains, you know, it just kind of goes like, you know, holograms versus, you know, just keeps going.
Holograms.
Very well stated, Jesse. Dan, your thoughts?
Holograms?
Of course.
Holograms.
Holograms. Hologram.
I will say that this one vies with the Holiday Party for me for being the favorite one. Because I thought this was,
clever.
Again, really clever, yeah. Good use of the voices, good use of even when you get the joke, it's still surprising you, which I think
you
is
say,
hard to
it's
do.
It's still surprising you. That's what you just said. You said, it's still surprising you.
Do you think that I was saying that like a Mario-type Italian?
It's still surprising you.
What do you want on a pizza? You got a pepperoni pizza. You put a pepperoni on your pizza with a sausage.
Pepperoni.
It's still a surprise to you. You have to make me stop.
And half off root beer floaties.
Root beer floaties. That's like last week when the computer said, our episode, and the computer said, pretty pleased with sugar on instead of pretty pleased with sugar on top. Yeah. He goes,
and half off root beer floaties.
Instead of root beer floats, I say root beer floats. I've never heard anyone say root beer floaties.
Well, it's like when McCoy says marshmallows in Star Trek V.
Does he say that?
Yeah. At the beginning of Star Trek V.
No.
The Final Frontier. McCoy no. refers to marshmallows.
I am shattered by this.
Okay. How about this? We'll watch Star Trek V, and then...
Were they roasting marshmallows?
Yeah, they were like roasting marshmallows.
That little camp out they were having?
Yeah.
Big blooper.
We ought to do Star Trek V at some point. There's no reason not to.
We ought to.
I mean, right now...
You ought to.
Well, okay.
You ought to.
There is one reason not to, because right now our friends at Unplanned Trek on their Patreon are discussing Star Trek V 1 minute at a time.
It's perfect.
So if you want to sign up for their Patreon at Unplanned Trek, you can listen to their reviews of Star Trek V 1 minute at a time. But at some point we should do it as well. But anyway, holograms all the way down. I love this episode. I thought it was really, really clever. And most importantly, perhaps, and I think this was probably one of the better appreciated of these episodes, partly because it mocks the ending of Enterprise. Mm-hmm. And we just talked a few weeks ago in episode 215 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. That's this podcast that you're listening to. In episode 215 of this podcast, we discussed the Star Trek Enterprise season 4 or series finale. These are the voyages.
Oh, and also in this episode, there's a reference to Practical Joker, and in Walk, Don't Run, there's a reference to Practical Joker, because they talk about how the, which we haven't gotten to Walk, Don't Run yet.
No, but we're going to.
We're going to, but that has a reference to the Rec Room holodeck. So we covered that last week, Practical Joker.
We did. We're primed for it.
And then before, yeah, we did the...
It's been a long road, fully but primed. I think it'll be smooth sailing from here on out. Computer freeze program. You were right, Deanna.
I like they. You notice if you listen to them, the music switches from each one. Like, this is a switch from the TNG to DS9.
Think I'm finally ready to talk with Captain Picard.
Computer, freeze program. See? A perfect fake.
Yeah. Well done.
For the right price, of course.
gets all jazzy.
Armin Shimerman when he's...
Why does it get all jazzy? It's
when
weird.
He does the... Well, because Deep Space Nine is jazzy.
I guess you're right.
Cisco is jazzy.
I guess it is
he's
kind of
He's from New Orleans. Or New Orleans, you know?
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
New Orleans. I think it's New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Do you say Caribbean or Caribbean?
I say Caribbean Queen.
That's not something anyone
says. Caribbean Queen. That's how they say it in the song. Caribbean. In the song Caribbean Queen, they say Caribbean Queen.
I say Caribbean.
What is it? Sit in the car and the car won't go. Shit car go or something, right?
Chicago.
Oh. When you sit in the car, I'm getting this wrong, but it's something like when you sit in the car and the car won't go. Chicago or when you sit
Chicago.
Chicago or something. Wait, I had to look at this.
You're the one that taught me that years ago.
Well, Dan looks up that joke.
Get it all wrong.
It's not really a joke.
I will continue the discussion. I will dutifully continue the discussion
of
holograms all the way down.
Chicken in the car, but the car won't go. Chicago.
Chicken in the corn. You know that song where it's all like chicken in the
corn?
I'm
saying the line. You can say your line after I'm done with my line.
You say your line.
Chicken in the car, but the car won't go. Chicago.
I don't get it, but I do know.
I don't think that's nearly as funny as what I said.
I don't think so. Yeah, I agree. What you said didn't make any more sense, but it was funnier. Demonstrably.
Chicken in the car? I'm confused by the chicken.
A chicken in the car and the car won't go. Wait, it goes, a chicken in the car and the car won't go. That's the way to spell Chicago, is a popular Chicago rhyme that has been cited in print since blah, blah, blah.
Do you think that's actually popular in Chicago?
I doubt it.
I bet it's not. Mm. I did want to point out that in addition to kind of playing with that concept of we're looking back at previous episodes or previous, or the history. I don't know. It's so hard to put it together because it's such a silly concept. But the these are the voyages idea of Riker getting information to help make a decision by viewing a holographic representation of the events on Star Trek Enterprise.
Holograms.
They make fun of that. Not only just by citing it here, but by like the line Riker has where he's like, Deanna, I was right that looking at this stuff is really going to help me because it's an absurd.
Yeah, right. He says, I'm going to go tell Picard. Whatever.
We made that comment when reviewing that episode, how we were like, this is fake clever. It seems like it's clever, but it's not, because the idea of like Riker being like, I'm just going to do some holodeck programs to decide whether or not to be a piece of shit or not. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And then, of course, the joke keeps going and going and going. And I guess, to my mind, it's just funnier and funnier as it goes along.
It's funnier because they also make them shorter and shorter. That's the third time I think I've whistled this episode.
Oh, did you whistle? I didn't even catch it.
That was a light one.
That was a pretty light one.
I don't know if you caught the one before, but there was one in between the first and the third called the second.
No, actually, I didn't catch that one or that one.
Playback to tape. Maybe the data tapes are being rewound in the rec room.
Oh yes, that was last week when we watched the Practical Joker. They referenced Scotty referenced the audio tapes that play
in the hall
in the holodeck.
In the holodeck, that's how they get their sounder from tapes in the holodeck. This is DS9 to Lower Decks.
And half off root beer floaties.
Computer, freeze program. That's how we got the Romulans into the Dominion War? No. Man.
Good old Tendi.
Tendi's great. And I thought it was a great choice to have Tendi be sort of the anchor of these episodes, you know, so that worked very well for me. And then, of course, you know, we always talk about Neelix, the space creep.
That's enough silly stories for one night.
But I think we do.
I like seeing him in TAS like animation form. That was really weird.
We do try bizarre. To point out that we love Ethan Phillips. He's fantastic. He's a great actor, and he inhabits this character of the space creep so well. It's just kind of funny how like the show makes us want to be like, oh, this is a lovable guy, and it's like, creep. But they keep showing him being a creepy monster. And I think part of that is Ethan Phillips' portrayal. But I really liked seeing Neelix at not really the end of this, kind of the semi end of this, and then they have the final little tag where they're all holograms and they're all put together, and then
It goes from Enterprise to TNG, TNG to DS9, DS9 to Lower Decks, Lower Decks to Prodigy, Prodigy to TAS, TAS to Discovery, Discovery to Strange New Worlds, Strange New Worlds to Voyager, Voyager to I don't fucking know. It was like a mix of people. It was I don't think I wrote
it
down.
It was all of them together.
It was Uhura, Spock, what I think.
T'Pol was in there.
It was Uhura, Spock from left to right. Or left to, I think I went left to right. Or did I go right to left?
Uh-oh.
That'd be silly. I think I might have gone right to left.
Uh-oh.
Uhura, Spock, I think that was Kirk. T'Pol, Riker.
T'Pol.
Do you think that was...
Where would I stay?
Do you think that was Kirk in that one?
Possibly.
Where would I stay?
Possibly.
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 Possibly?
Hello.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
That was that. It ended nicely and silly. No major point to it all. Just sort of making fun of the concepts of what you can do with a holodeck.
I'm about to Paul.
It was a great way to pull in a whole bunch of different characters all at once. So as you note, this has some of the most of the characters appear in this episode. Mm-hmm. Very fun.
They had kind of a spooky ending.
Computer, freeze program.
You are the computer. Who are you talking?
Yeah.
That was some kind of that was some kind of meta joke where the computer like the computer told itself to turn off the program. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you're the computer. And then everything shut off. Yeah. It was some weird, like...
It's like when you do Hey Google.
It was...
Everyone listening to this on speakers now is like, Hey Google, do some stupid shit.
It was...
I'm sorry, I can't do stupid shit.
It was some kind of, like, meta-existential kind of weird...
Some kind of Star Trek.
Some kind of, like, they turned themselves off, you know what I'm saying? It was all fucking creepy.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Computer, freeze program.
I think it's one of the many reasons why I really enjoyed
this. That's what happens when you die.
Yeah, exactly, right? That's what I'm saying.
And this vies back and forth with The Holiday Party as my favorite of all five of these. any other points about this episode, or should we go to the final episode?
Let's go to the final one.
All right, Jesse votes for the final one. Dan is not saying anything, so by implication, he's cool with moving along home, too.
Silence is compliance.
Moving along to Star Trek, Very Short Treks, Lowercase V, Season 1, Episode 5, Walk, Don't Run. Walk, Don't Run. Written by Casper Kelly.
Really?
Directed by A.A. Ron Hawkins. Mm. And released on October 4th, 2023. Starring... Noelle Wells as Devon Attendee, Carlos Alazraki as Scotty, and he normally plays on. First of all, Carlos Alazraki has a massive, massive.
Does he do the Taco Bell dog?
I don't know about that, but he does massive.
Why did you think that?
Because I read it.
Oh,
because he's.
Then why'd you ask?
Must just be in conversation.
Oh. Now I'm the asshole.
Well, what I was trying to say is that he has
I'm
a
still the ass.
He has a huge resume, going back. Decades in voice acting work, but Star Trek fans will probably most know him as Vice Admiral Les Buenamigo on Lower Decks.
Oh,
he plays not a badmiral per se, more of a
badmiral,
dumbmiral or whatever. I don't know exactly the right term.
Love is the answer.
This one episode also has Christina Milizia as Emres again. She was in the first episode. George Takei as Hikaru Sulu and Jonathan Frakes as William Riker.
Oh my.
I thought this was another fun one. It's not my favorite of the bunch.
It was fun, yeah.
But it was also, I think, maybe the least offensive.
Okay, so I was gonna say it's hardest for me to determine why the audience might not like this. I mean, it was just totally silly. It was goofy. It was really goofy. Yeah. They referenced the orgy scene, which I don't know in and of itself. That comes from Lower Decks. So if you didn't have a problem with Lower Decks, if anything, this was sort of making fun of it for that. It was fucking bizarre.
It was very meta.
The song at the end
was a weird ass song.
I enjoyed that though.
I like that song too. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely enjoyed that final song.
Get God with love on your duty, you
Who plays Devon Attendee? What's her name again?
Noelle Wells. And she's a singer. She has like albums and stuff.
I was gonna say, because like you can tell if that's that.
They have a lot of like Christina Chong and a bunch of other people.
She got a strong voice.
Yeah, Celia Rose Gooding. Modern Star Trek has a lot of singers. Eighties and nineties Star Trek had a lot of theater actors. They seem to be hiring a lot of like musical theater actors. At least they have a few. Let's not go crazy.
I found that it's not uncommon for actors to have some singing ability. It's not uncommon for them not to, but there's also not surprising when they do.
I have come to a similar conclusion as yourself.
What do you say, Jesse?
Uncommon, not uncommon, and not unsurprising. Wait, unsurprising.
Not uncommon.
But unsurprising.
Not not uncommon.
I messed it up, I'm sorry.
And not unsurprising.
I messed it up on purpose.
Not without unsurprises.
Yes. No. Okay.
So this episode has a similar premise in some ways to the Skin a Cat episode.
Like we're fat.
Mm-hmm. And then there's
cranky old cartoons.
It's sort of like a miscommunication, right? Except this one's not so much about.
Oh, it's people like bickering, kind of.
Yeah, well, yeah, but not only
like
bickering,
what do you mean,
bickering specifically about.
Scotty's a surly old guy.
About how you interpretate.
It was a stylistic choice.
It's like interpreting versus interrogating aphorisms that are generally understood to be positive, but that if you look at them a certain way, they can reasonably be seen to be not so positive, right?
I have three legs.
Yes. I was having a real hard time parsing the visual of Eric's folding his three arms.
Yes, which
that was
I thought they did a good job with that because my eyes were getting all crossed.
Yeah, and I paused and I looked at it. I finally figured it out, but it took a while and I kept losing it and having to get it
figured it out.
And my eyes kept going out of focus.
My eyes are going crazy.
You know what, Fat? You're big cartoon eyes.
What? She's like, what?
Because she was actually sensitive about that. And then, of course, she made the also very funny joke of saying, well, at least I've got like whites in my eyes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yours are just black dots on skin.
I know. That was one of the, I think in our podcast, one of the first like animated series episodes, I mentioned that, how it's like they have, it was a representation of how cheaply made the episodes of TS were.
The filmation,
they wouldn't even put whites in the eyes because it probably fucked up their. They probably had to add a new.
Just more work.
Yeah, they probably had to add like a new cell, and it probably like added like you know a quarter more to the cost of the episode or something.
One quarter.
See, not a quarter amount, a quarter cent.
One quarter.
Not
portion.
A quarter of a dollar, a quarter cent.
A quarter of a cent.
2.5 hay pennies, if you will.
Right.
Would it be a half of a hay penny?
This was the most meta of the five episodes. It was very self-referential because Tendi is presented as basically giving like a tour of Star Trek franchise.
I thought...
Computer, freeze program.
You are the computer. Who are you talking...
I thought that was very meta. Maybe not meta in terms of Star Trek meta, but that was more existential meta.
Yeah, I don't disagree with
you. We already
talked
about that.
But that was the tag / punchline to the previous episode, whereas this entire episode is talking about Star Trek as if it's a TV show.
You walked so that we may run.
Yes, precisely. And then the episode goes on to interrogate that particular aphorism and point out some ways in which it may be considered insensitive or insulting.
Like we're some sort of pack mule.
Aye, and we're giants. Like we're fat. You know what's fat? Your big cartoon eyes.
It's pretty good.
I like the way she's... I don't know. The way she says what is like really amusing. Yeah.
Do you have that isolated?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
The closest I have is this.
You know what's fat? Your big cartoon eyes.
What?
Again, it just works really well in context. I don't know. It's a perfect emotion, sort of like angry, but a little bit sensitive.
Well, no. Elle Wells is an excellent actor, as we've learned over the previous four seasons of Star Trek Lower Decks. But we get lots of fun characters here. Riker shows up for some reason, even though he's a little anachronistic.
Love is the answer.
And then he's.
I got your orgy scene right here.
Yes. Okay. And then when I said at the beginning, I said this is maybe the least offensive. It still has, of course, references to the orgy, and then the Scotty and the others take off their pants and start walking around, even though you don't see anything. Nah. It's heavily implied.
Yeah, but I mean, the orgy was like, I mean. It's referencing a different show, so it's not like it's that. Like, if you didn't have a problem with Lower Decks,
I agree.
Orgy, you know,
and if you did have a problem, so lame. Orgies are cool.
Everybody
likes orgies.
What I said earlier was you could almost say that this is. I mean, this was criticizing that.
You don't want to put leftover fish in the microwave at an orgy. Let me tell you what.
So
and your orgy scene.
That was Scotty criticizing Lower Decks. If anything, for the orgy scene. You don't. What do you mean you don't want a fucking fish in your orgy scene? What are you talking about?
Okay. Comedically, Dan, this is what's known as a callback. And what I was doing was I was referencing the earlier conversation about not putting putting leftover fish in the microwave because the odors that could come out of the microwave in a shared space may be unpleasant. And then I was combining that with the imagery of a Starfleet orgy.
More you forgot to add the sauce.
Oh, no.
There's probably already a bit of a smell at an orgy already, though.
Well, okay, so Jesse is stating clearly
what I was talking about.
Naked people.
No.
Start. Big blooper. Blooper.
I think that's going to be one that we get to use in the future, don't you, Dan?
What, blooper?
Blooper.
Hardly know her.
It is called a blooper blooper.
Did you mark anything down? Did you have anything that was beat style? You know, for the uninitiated, Dan will mark certain audio clips as being sort of a beat style because they have some sort of internal rhythm to them.
There was nothing too beaty that stood out to me. I mean, I'm not saying there wasn't anything beaty. But there nothing stood out to me this time around.
That's just fine.
But I do.
Is there anything you would like to play over and over in an incessant fashion?
It is called a blooper reel. Blooper, 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 farted, 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 blooper, 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 farted, 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 blooper, 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 farted, 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 farted.
How's that?
Yeah, so it's four of each.
Mm. Yeah, let's do it.
What about mixing them up a little bit? Three and one? Have you tried that? Blooper, blooper, blooper,
blooper,
fart?
Blooper, 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 farted, blooper, 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 farted, blooper, 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 farted, blooper, 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 farted, blooper.
Just to be wild guys.
Spork.
Just to be wild boys, and I'm not talking about that show where they put their hand in the ant glove or anything like that from back in the day.
out of the way! The space diarrhea!
What about three farts and a blooper?
Farted, 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 blooper, farted, 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 blooper, farted, 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 blooper, farted, 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 blooper.
Yeah, because there's a swiftness to the
farting. How about on every fourth one you have two bloopers?
Oh my god. Wait.
Blooper, blooper.
Wait a second.
Farted, farted, farted. Blooper, blooper. Farted, 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 farted. Blooper, blooper. Farted, 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 farted. Blooper.
You do blooper once, and then on the fourth time you do blooper twice. The fourth time you do
blooper, farted, blooper, farted, blooper, farted, blooper, 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 blooper.
You just do what you want.
Farted, farted, farted. Blooper, farted, farted, farted. Blooper, farted, farted, farted. Blooper, farted, farted, farted. Blooper, 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 blooper.
Like that?
Yeah, but just two bloopers. Yeah.
That's all right. Okay. Well, we'll work this out.
That was it.
The fart is difficult because the F goes long, so it's hard to get at the right time to hit the beat correctly.
Farted.
Yeah. Because it's it's not a hard consonant. It's a F consonant.
Farted.
I don't know if maybe it is defined as a hard consonant, but it's not like a
fecal.
It's not like a duh or a k. It's like a
fecal.
It's a farted. Which is like, it doesn't have
fecal
as much
farts.
There's not as much rhythm to f as there is k or duh.
Yeah.
Right.
Any other thoughts about this particular episode?
It doesn't matter your species, if you're old generation or new, if you're animated on twos or sixes, love is the answer.
Is this?
If you're animated on twos or sixes, love is the answer.
Is that some kind of jazz joke?
That's what Jesse was probably getting at with the two bloopers and the... And the thing, I don't know nothing about no jazz timing.
I wasn't
well, because he's talking about you're animated on the twos or sixes. What are the twos or sixes? Like beat two and beat six.
I mean, clearly it's
a jazz joke. Yeah. All right.
We're more post mainframe acid Cardassian 10 forward core.
10 forward core.
We're more post mainframe acid Cardassian 10 forward core.
Oh, you know, one thing that I did want to mention that I forgot from earlier.
I got your orgy scene right here
from that Worst Contact episode. Another thing that popped up was that Gates McFadden, or I should say Beverly Crusher, refers to Commander Riker as Bill.
Yes. I forgot to mention that too. Yeah.
Now, the thing is that that's not a mistake, because I think I did see
sabotage.
A couple people on Reddit. It's like one of those classic things where somebody calls out a mistake and it reveals that they actually are positioning themselves as being knowledgeable, but they actually don't know it enough.
Chief O'Brien?
Because that was clearly a joke. It was a deep cut
joke.
Because in season one of TNG, Deanna Troi calls Riker Bill twice in The Naked Time and in Haven. When they're in private, you know, because they're in Zadi action.
They're on their privates?
No, I didn't say on their privates. They're on the rad.
And that's going to do
they're
it.
On the-
but they do. Deanna Troi refers to Riker as Bill twice, and it, according to the internet, in the novelization of Encounter at Farpoint, Riker introduces himself to Beverly Crusher as Bill Riker in the book. Because again, it was first season, and they didn't change it to Will until later. I thought that was just worth noting in case somebody was like, why did she call him Bill? These writers don't know anything about Star Trek. Because I think whatever you want to say about these episodes, you can say they're stupid and dumb. Some of them are. They're definitely crass and crude and full of fart humor and all that other stuff.
Like Raphael is cool but crude.
No, he's cool but rude.
No, he's crude.
No, he's rude, I thought.
I thought he was crude.
Because Raphael is cool. No, it was like Michelangelo is a party.
Well, of course, Michelangelo's a party dude. Everybody Raphael knows
cool,
that.
No, Raphael is cool but rude.
I thought it was crude. No, I could be wrong.
Cool but rude.
I think it's but crude, though.
Why don't you look up the lyrics while we close things down?
I don't feel like it. I think you should do that.
Okay. I was just going to say that whatever people, there are many legitimate criticisms. And again, we're not trying to change your opinion of any of these things. But I don't think it's fair to say that the people who produce these don't know about Star Trek. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the critiques that I thought was completely uncalled for. There's lots of deep lore, lots of caring, and for promotional, probably one-off, anniversary, non-canon, fun-time bits, I thought they did an amazing job of understanding the lore of the franchise and covering a huge chunk of it in just a few minutes.
What are you trying to say?
Whether the execution is great or not? All right, that's a different story, but whatever. They knew their Star Trek.
Earlier in the episode, I'd mentioned there was a scene when Tenny goes, ... had less budget, so your animation was a little stiff when talking to them. She was like, she did this spin roll. Watch with her left hand was going around her pad. It was going, it was really cool and kind of like superfluous. And it was a cool animation they did because it was just this little like almost throwaway. But it caught my eye. She was, when she was saying that, she would spin her left hand in front of the pad, then behind it, just like as if you took your right hand and spun your left hand around it. And she did that. And it was like a totally unnecessary animation, but it drew me in. I thought it was interesting. I hope you find it as interesting as well. Not necessarily as much as I do.
I thought it was very well animated. I think I think Awesome Inc. may be the company that animated this. It wasn't Titmouse, which animates Lower Decks. So.
Titmouse.
Good job.
Sulu played the synthesizers. Of course, we know, of course, Riker played trombone, but I don't know if synthesizer is a reference to anything. It probably just they needed a synth player.
Yeah, and then Scotty was banging on the drums.
The song, like, I enjoyed that song. It kind of made me feel like my brain was falling out or something. It was fucking weird.
I think by design, because it also made me feel like my brain fell out.
Yeah, but I really thought it was awesome. I enjoyed it.
So people can blame any deficiencies in this episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast on the fact that our brains have fallen out due to listening to that brain falling out song.
Oh, my.
All right. Anything else? Otherwise, should we close things down? Shut things up?
Wrap it up.
I have three legs.
Yes. Hey, yes you do, Dan. Wink, wink. Starfleet orgy.
Get God with love on your duty.
I got your orgy scene right here.
That has been It's Got Star Trek.
It's been
Star Trek, very short, Trek's lowercase v. Next week, we don't know. We don't know yet what we'll discuss. It'll be something cool, though. Keep an eye on our social media, at It's Got Star Trek, on all the major social media joints. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, all that business. Our website, www.itsgotstartrek.com. We will, of course, update our next episode advertisement there. You can also, if you want to hear some previous thoughts on the Star Trek: The Animated Series, you can search by that, or Lower Decks, or whatever. We've done a ton of that stuff. We've done all of Lower Decks. We've done almost all of the animated series. So there's a lot to check out on our feed.
And for the right price.
We've done all of Picard.
And going to the website is one of the best ways to sort it out. Finally, if you want to get in contact with us, you can email us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com for the old-fashioned style emails. Or if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, which we may then play on the show, you can do that at www.itsgotstartrek.com/record. and leave up to 90 seconds. That's the maximum that the website allows.
He means it too. He'll cut you right off. He did it earlier.
No, it's the website that cuts it off. Oh. That's just how it works. It only
this guy doesn't play.
Oh,
around.
I thought you were just like cutting people off. Like
no, because it's the website.
I was like, damn, you're really sticking to this 90
seconds.
Dude,
you thought that too. Everyone's like this piece of shit.
93 seconds. No way.
We don't
no
pay.
Way.
We use the free service, and the free service gives you 90 seconds. Oh. That's all you get with the free service.
If you're recording it and it goes over 90 seconds, does it make you think you're still recording it, or does it like shut
no,
you down?
No, it stops because it's useful to mention that the website lets you listen back before you send it in. So if you want to re-record, that's no problem because it lets you listen back before you actually commit to sending it. But anyway, that's an option. Send us an MP3, whatever you want to do. So we look forward to talking to you next week. In the meantime, have a good one. And talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Buzzers.
Hit it, Scotty.
It doesn't matter if you're OG or new, or if your skin is magenta or blue.
Or green.
You call yourself
Ferengi.
Or Klingon.
Klingon.
Life's a party.
A party to bring on a party.
Let your love spread like it's discovery. Help your addict friends with their recovery. Cause if you wanna live long and prosper,
yeah.
Get God with love on your duty roster.
Yeah.